Bear Down Bears fans, welcome into another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast. Pat the Designer, Lance Briggs here, breaking down a loss that we thought might be a win at the end of it. And I mean, listen, we saw the Bears look like they reformed to what they were offensively. Defensively, though, a lot of positives there. I'm sure that the former linebacker was smiling very hard seeing how elite those linebackers looked yesterday as well. But we got to talk about a couple of different things. I mean, Justin Fields, of course, dealing with the injury, dislocated thumb. We don't know yet where he's going to be as far as the MRI goes. But is his job as a starter in jeopardy? Sometimes seems to think so. Problems at the center position. And I don't like being lied to, Lance.
None of us do.
I don't like being lied to, so I don't like calling people out too often, except every day. But I got to call out our head coach on that one. Offense seemed to go a little bit backwards, like I said, but how far backwards? All that and more in today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page. Leave a five-star review. You know what to do. Let's jump into the show, Lance, because I mean, you have everybody on Twitter and uproar over your grades. Like, I love it.
Really?
I love it a little bit.
Really? People, they're a little testy over my grades. A
little uproar. You were very positive on what we saw from the Chicago Bears yesterday.
Yeah.
I guess let's start with the offensive grade. You gave them a B, right?
I gave them an A minus.
A minus on offense.
You know, no, you're right. No, I gave them a B.
I was gonna say you was really generous.
It was a B.
Offense yesterday gets a B.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts that led to the B grade on the offense?
Well, number one, the first thing that comes to mind is we ran the ball extremely well.
We ran the ball extremely well.
And I thought that that if Justin would have stayed healthy, I think we would have won the game. I think we had a chance to win the game.
I could follow you down that
path. I think in clutch situations, I've seen our team rise to the occasion on some certain clutch situations, especially as of late.
Yeah,
more so of late. The other thing too that goes into play with that is that I thought that Eberflus has had his team ready to fight for at least the last couple of weeks. I didn't see that in the first 2 to 3 weeks. So to me, being prepared and bringing the right attitude and effort is very important in this game.
Now, you said if Justin stays in that game, the Chicago Bears end up, in your mind, winning that game. I can follow you down that line of thinking because I think a lot of people, right, think to the average fan, the offensive line is just bodies. But if you have a starting center that's playing poorly, that will really affect you the second they threw Lucas Patrick in there. All of a sudden, the offense started to move down the field and things were going the way that they were supposed to go. Mm-hmm. I guess this brings us to the question that I wanted to start this off with. Bajic coming in, playing so well in that second half. If we see that level of play continue, could Justin Fields' spot as the starter on this team be in jeopardy? Again, he's not Ryan Poles' offensive pick. And we saw this article from the Chicago Sun-Times today where, they dropped this. This is the headline here. Bajan of Chance with Fields – or Bajan of Change, I'm sorry, with Fields reverting to his frustrating form before injury. Rookie QB, at least fun to watch in the Bears' loss. Felt like they were a little quick. Now, they had this pre-printed up, and they just needed to change the small print on the bottom. What are your thoughts on – I mean, what Tyson Bajan has to do, I guess, to hold on to the starting job, or is he just the backup?
I like Bajan.
Yeah,
I do like him.
I want to see him be successful,
and I want to see everybody be successful. But if you look at his time when he was in, did he give us plenty of hope? Absolutely. Was there a fumble scored for a touchdown?
Yeah.
All right. Now we lost this game 19-13. Correct.
Yep.
Okay. At the end of the game, did he throw a pick?
Yep.
Okay. So, you know what I mean? Like, so what are we talking here?
Yeah.
You know, what are we talking here? We're talking to a guy that I hope comes in, he plays well, you know, because he's a young kid that I think is very smart and football is his thing. But when Justin is healthy, you know, Justin needs to come back and be the guy that we need him to be.
Yeah.
You know, Justin's coming off two career games.
Yeah.
Coming off two career games. Has a bad game and everyone's like, oh, we're done with him.
Yeah.
Like this city goes through, we're done with them too. Oh man, it's two career games. Oh man, all right.
What maybe, I don't like is maybe, the people that don't maybe. Stand on it. You know what I mean? Y'all don't think I see. We see the names of the people that's like, Justin Fields sucks. I ain't seen them in 2 weeks. As soon as he had a bad game, right back in there. You know what I mean?
Get rid of him. You know, man, come on. This is the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
All right? This is the way it's going to go. What we did do was we ran the ball extremely well.
Yes.
All right? That bodes well for us moving into the future. We can run the ball. We'll be able to throw the ball.
Yeah. I look at Justin's play, and I do agree with you that, if he had come back in and had gotten the advantage of that center change when Lucas Patrick finally came in, because – listen, I give Justin all the credit in the world. If he wasn't such a world star athlete, if he wasn't a baseball player, there's seven snaps that are going over his head. Cody Whitehair was atrocious yesterday at the center position, both blocking and snapping the football as well. Yeah. So I really want to see him. Apparently, my phone just decided to make noise, even though it's off. That's crazy. That's wild. I usually don't do
it's
that.
Not professional.
Not professional at all. I apologize to my colleagues, to my
producer.
Does this
happen on the Green Bay Packers podcast?
Oh, my gosh. Listen, they just talk about cheese all day. But by the way, I love seeing them in an uproar. The Green Bay fans just losing their mind. It's all I got right now. It's all I got right now.
Good old Jordan Love.
But even like that situation, right, you have to understand. To me, the one thing that people don't attribute to the quarterback play enough, I don't care if it's Justin Fields, Caleb Williams, Tyson Bagent, Jay Cutler, Rex Grossman, whoever it is, if you don't have dogs standing in front of him, he's going to have a bad day. When David Bakhtiari was in for the Packers, Jordan Love looked like the next coming. David Bakhtiari goes out. Now he looks like he can't get on the field and run an offense forward. So I do think that Bagent got to be able to take advantage of Lucas Patrick being switched in there.
So when you say that, all right, when you say that right there, I mean, this goes on with all the Chicago fans that say, oh, man, we need to go get Caleb Williams. We need to go get Marvin Harrison Jr.
Yeah.
But you say what you just said.
Yeah.
All right. If you go and you get these type of skill players and you don't get the premier guys up front, it doesn't matter.
How many times have we done this?
It'll be a graveyard. Because we have, you know, we have arguably one of the better defensive backfields in the league. And the reason why they're not talked about more is because we don't have pressure.
Yeah.
You know, defense is built off timing too. You know, you get guys that can get in there and rush. Now our defensive backfield becomes stars because they're jumping routes. You know what I mean? They're being opportunistic. They're taking plays. We don't have that.
Yeah.
And so you can bring in star skill players, but if you don't have them up front, it's a waste.
On both sides.
Yeah.
On both sides. And that is, you know, like, I know it sounds crazy to say because, by the way, every single season, you know, whatever quarterback is coming out is a can't-miss generational talent, right? Like, that's pretty much how we're talking about every single one every year at this point, right? Like, Bryce Young was a can't-miss generational talent. Bryce Young can't see over his offensive lineman. You know what I mean? Like, C.J. Stroud wasn't getting talked about as a generational talent,
and he looked like
he might be.
And I've said this over and over. I said, listen, Caleb Williams, he's another Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And if you go and you watch against the Notre Dame
when defense, they got pressure,
it's exactly what's happening. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
– I'm with you.
Right. You know what I mean? If you're going to replace Justin Fields, you don't do him with another Justin Fields-type player.
And
you're going to have the same Justin Fields-type problems.
And in college, I think the biggest problem is, right, like, you get to see these guys be elite. And I'm not saying Caleb Williams hasn't been elite this season. He has. He's probably still the front runner for the Heisman, even with the performance that he put out there on Saturday. But he probably still is. Come on now. He probably still is.
If it depends on what you're looking for, you know.
They're looking for a quarterback. We know what they're usually looking for.
Hey, but listen, Michael Penix Jr.,
he's nice. He's
pinpointing. He's reading coverage.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
reading coverages and he's throwing the ball.
No, 100%. But I just – when you have a guy that his schedule starts with, like, you go through the first seven teams, you're like, hey, they have no frontline pressure.
Yeah.
I would hope that he looks good.
Yeah, correct.
You know what I mean? Like, correct. I would hope that Caleb looks good. This was the game. It's not to say he's not going to be a good quarterback at the next level, whatever it is. I hope he does. But
when the pressure's on.
When the pressure's on.
And a good defense.
And I just think it's a disservice because of how they schedule college games, right? You know the second you lose a game, you go down in the rankings. Like, you might be out, you might be in for the playoffs, all that. So they schedule it so that we play our tough teams at the end when we like 6-0, 7-0 Yeah. And then maybe we get a loss here, but but we were 6-0 before that.
Oh, but what, trust me, Caleb Williams, they're not going to beat Washington. They're going to play Washington. They're not going to beat Washington.
Ooh.
All right. You listen, Washington is the real deal.
Yeah.
Washington's a real deal out
there.
Some
dogs out
there. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not saying that the rest of their schedule, they're going to win all the rest of their schedule. It's going to be tough in the pack.
Yeah.
Pack is tough right now.
And I mean, we say all this to say, right, like the quarterback shouldn't be the focal point of what the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line.
Right.
Needs to be addressed.
There you go.
Your center position needs to be addressed. Now, when you look back, and I hate the revisionist history because I do think that we got a really good old lineman, but we got Jervon Dexter, who's slowly coming along.
Yeah.
I like the progression that's happening here. It seems like he's starting to get a little bit more used to a penetrating style than a two-gap style. And we drafted Tyreek Stevenson, both ahead of Schmitz, who ends up going to New York, who is a heck of a center. Is that a miss on Ryan Poles' part at this point? I like both of them. I do like both of them. I like what Tyreek Stevenson is right now. A little less aggressive, but he was better this week. And Jervon Dexter growing into the player that he is,
yeah,
but you could have had a center.
Listen, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. You know, like you have to do what's best for your team's needs.
Yeah.
We address something in the first round. We address some things
right
in the first round. We address things that need to be addressed.
Yep.
And
there's so many holes you could have picked at any point.
Right. You know what I mean? And you also look at, like I said, I kind of said before, like, we're not looking for microwave success here.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking for a long baked, you know, delicious
little crock pot action.
Absolutely. So we've got, the Bears are sitting in a position where they've got picks early, first, two second, you know, and if we don't need a quarterback, which I'm hoping that's the case, we can trade back and get more picks and keep loading this team up. You know, I think this next draft is a great opportunity to really bolster a real core. The real core, you know what I mean? We're talking pass rusher, the mauling offensive lineman, you know, get the premier guys defensively up front that can rush. And we really feel some pieces in free agency.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of those deals where it's like, yes, we flash some players in front of you guys, in front of the Bears, but this isn't the world beating Bears yet.
Yeah.
We're not there yet.
Yeah.
All right. So what we can do is we can put together the best team we possibly can for this year, go out, try to give our best effort, our best and give our best attitude and see what happens. You know, try to keep to continue to develop and move forward.
Let's play a quick game, GM Lance. This is one of my favorite games to play.
GM.
GM Lance, where we give you a pay raise. You get a nice corner office. You get to set that up however
you
want.
I'm not talking until you tell me how many figures we're talking about.
Listen, how much is Poles making?
I'm better than Poles, okay?
Ooh.
I'm better than Poles.
All right. All right. So with the whole
no disrespect to him. I love Poles. I was there when you came to the Bears.
I'm glad you remember him because I've heard I ask everybody, I'd be like, y'all remember him? I don't remember him being in there, bro.
No, I don't remember.
Lance.
He was old lineman.
No disrespect. No disrespect.
He was old lineman. You know what I mean?
You wasn't in the room with him.
You know, I had lots of conversations with Olin.
Yeah.
But Olin was made there the before team. I got there.
And made the team. Yeah. So right now, with what you have on your offensive line, Darnell Wright is in place. Tevin Jenkins is there. Do you pay Tevin Jenkins to keep him, even with the injury concerns, when he's on the field, he's an absolute monster?
If I can get him, number one, I need to get him to stay healthy for, give me six games.
Yeah.
Give me six games of health, you know, stay healthy through the rest of the season and see what I can see. Honestly, see how cheap I can get him.
Yeah.
He is he's a mountain. He's a force. I want to see what kind of deal we can get to keep him here.
You coming in low.
Right. To me, that first round, whether we trade back or whatever it is, I'm getting whoever's top first available, best O-line or D-line.
Well, that was the next question. Even let's say, right, and this is not the hope, but let's say things aren't looking positively for Justin Fields.
Okay.
are you still taking Caleb Williams, or are you trading back and
who
fixing?
Who said I was taking Caleb Williams in the first place?
Are you taking?
I'm not taking Caleb Williams.
No matter what.
I'm not taking Caleb Williams.
You're trading back.
I have a Caleb Williams on my team right now.
Yeah.
Why am I going to go get another Caleb Williams and have the same problems that I have right now? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to replace him with a different style of quarterback. I'm going to replace him with a pocket pass, more of a pocket passer, guy that throws the ball a whole heck of a lot and sits in the pocket, makes his read, and throws it, gets it out right now.
Yeah.
That's what I would do if I'm going to do that. All right. I'm not replacing Brian. I'll have another first round pick the following year.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going line.
Yeah.
I'm going line, both sides.
And I agree with that. Like that's that, because to me, if you can find your starting center and your starting, and I hope that what's his name is that Braxton's the left tackle of the future. But Braxton showed me the exact concerns that I had with Braxton coming into the season. The bull rush is going to kill him. And I get it. He's a fifth round pick. It takes time to develop these guys, but he might just be okay. If I can go get a guy that's elite, if I can go get Olu, I can go get, you know what I mean? Like, Joe Alt from Notre Dame, you know what I mean? Like,
they got a whole line, starting line at Michigan right now.
You know what I mean?
That whole starting line.
Just
moving.
Can we get all five of y'all? Right. Just come on in. To me, that is the key to long term success, because then we go into fourth year Justin. I don't know why people think we have to pay Justin right now, by the way. Either. I keep hearing that. You have to make a decision on Justin. No, I don't.
No, you don't.
He's got a fourth year deal. He's got a fourth year on his deal and a fifth year option. Why would you pick up the fifth year option? Because I don't have another quarterback.
Right. Right.
I don't understand the logic of you can't miss on an opportunity to fix an offensive line that can help whoever you put in there.
Absolutely.
Look like Brock Purdy.
Boom. And that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I think we would be making the biggest mistake if we don't put the premier guys up front.
Yeah.
We need to really invest in that, and the city needs to get behind that.
Yeah.
Like as soon as you hear whoever that O-line or D-lineman is, that's who you're cheering for.
Yeah.
Because we need to load up on that.
100%. I'm right there with you, Lance. Let's jump into this real quick because by the way, this podcast is brought to you by the Hard Rock Casino in Northern Indiana. Ton of great talent performing down there. So tune in with that as well. Who's the latest? I don't know if we got the latest that's performing down there. EO can't remember. That's all right. Yeah. Hey, Pete Davidson might come back.
There you go.
Blues. Yeah, I mean.
Maybe Blues Brothers, maybe?
Blues Brothers? Little Blues maybe Brothers? Blues Brothers. Man, you can't go wrong with the Blues Brothers. I have a problem with our head coach right now that I think everybody should have a problem with.
Okay, talk to me now.
I don't like when coaches try to do coach speak like it's not 2023 anymore and we don't have Google. I get it. I haven't played in the NFL, Lance has. So there's a very large football knowledge
gap.
You
never
here.
Played in the NFL?
I've never in my life, Lance.
That's Danny told me when I came on his podcast. This is a veteran crew.
Lance, listen, I'm more the brother from the bank with the good hair. You know what I mean? That's more me. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like, I'm not.
Right.
But what? It doesn't mean that I can't sit down and ask you guys questions and gain knowledge and learn a little bit more about the football world.
Yeah.
I don't like when coaches talk to, especially Bears fans. Packers fans different. But especially Bears fans like we're stupid. Especially when I can just do this and Google snap count, because he said he wanted to go with the more experienced center, and he did not bench Cody Whitehair because of the snap issues. Now, Lance, you can see this list here. Cody Whitehair had over 1,000 snaps his rookie year at center.
Mm-hmm.
Lucas Patrick didn't get close to 1,000 snaps until his third year in the league, and he's played 10 snaps and 290 since then.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you lying to Bears fans and not just holding your players accountable? You think Cody Whitehair doesn't know he played bad? Do we think that the everybody who watched the game couldn't see that he played, but we think Justin Fields and Tyson Bagent didn't realize this guy ain't it because I got pressure in my face every time he snapped the football. Why are we lying in the media to try and make Cody Whitehair's ego feel maybe a smidge better?
I just see this as more PR nightmares for the Bears. I think they bring it on themselves. The PR team, they think, oh man, we got to jump in front of this, and I think we should handle it this way instead of that way. You know, just be straight. Just be straight
on the stuff we can see.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, like,
just be straight. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and you can protect the team and still give an honest assessment of what happened. And I think that Eberflus really falls short of this a lot, and that's the PR within the Bears that are giving him this information. All right, this is how we should handle this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you got this. There's too many brains in there trying to tell you how to massage a situation when you're a football coach. You coach football.
Yeah.
Right? You coach football.
What? What, Lance? What are you laughing at?
And when you have that many brains, sometimes you're overthinking stuff.
Yeah.
The football should be simplified and simplify it for everybody.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, we went with this guy. This is who we went with. We, you know, it didn't work out, so we brought somebody else in.
And no fan would be upset about, like, there's nothing that you're gaining. Like, what is there, an advantage next week? Do you think that the Vegas Raiders were like, oh, God, they went with the more experienced guy. I can't believe it. We're not going to see Cody Whitehair.
And what kills me, too, is Eberflus, he's a defensive guy. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
leave the sophisticated, complicated talk to the offensive guys. All right, you're a defensive guy. Hey, man, wait, listen. Coach, you said we were going to go with the center. Yeah, we're going to go with the center. That's what we went with. All right, it didn't work, so we brought somebody else in. And it started to work.
And it started to work. And here's the thing. You look like a genius. Now, maybe you did a little too late.
Yeah.
I think maybe that change should have came at halftime.
Right.
But I get it, right? You're trying to give a veteran guy some time to, okay, maybe he's just got to adjust back. This is his first game going on. But you made a change. You made a coaching decision, a head coaching decision. Stand on it. And I think that's the part that, to me, with Bears fans, when they look at Matt Eberflus, it gives us the least confidence of all, because it's like you don't even want to stand on the decisions that you're making that are helping the team move in the right direction. That helped Tyson Bagent play better. The first drive, he gets the fumble strip sack. The second drive is three and out. He can't move the ball. You swap Lucas Patrick in there. Oh, by the way, almost snapped the ball over his head too there, Cody. You swap Lucas Patrick in there. All of a sudden, we have an 83-yard drive that ends in a touchdown in the end zone for the young man. Like, you did something right. Yeah. It's okay to say, I made the decision. I'm the head coach. Boom.
Yep.
That's the end of the conversation.
Right.
We thought he gave us the best chance.
Because I know as the defensive coach, your offensive guys are telling you this is what we want. This is what we'd like to do.
Yes.
This is our situation. Before this, that, and the other, we want Cody Whitehair in there and Lucas Patrick. You know, he's a little testy right now, coach, so this is how we want to rock with it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, when you're answering a question to the media, I made this decision because – I'm the head coach, so it comes down to a decision that I ultimately had to make.
And with all the Bill Belichick talk you already do, you might as well go all the way. You sit there and don't give no answers anyway. You might as well say, because I'm the head coach.
Boom.
It'll shock the media. Bro. They'll be in there like, all right, well, I guess you're the head coach. What you want me to say? And this is the tough part. When you're in the situation now that you're at with center, you've got Lucas Patrick, who's been banged up on and off all season. Cody Whitehair, he can't snap the football. Like, we've done this experiment, 3 years now? He can't snap the football. You do have a person in the building who is a very young player. You're 1-5 on the season. Do you take a chance at trying to throw Doug Kramer in there, who the only reason I think they don't want to use him is because he doesn't have the same amount of versatility, right? Cody can go to guard, go to center, go to right guard. Lucas, the same thing. Doug Kramer's a center. All he do is snap footballs and block forward. He's a center. Do you look to make that decision possibly moving forward, knowing the struggles you've had with both of these guys?
Oh, shoot. I'm always willing to try something. You know what I mean? To bring get some inspiration or something. You know, we have guys that are versatile outside of him.
Yeah.
You know, then I can move some other players around, you know, enough of them. That means that we're probably going to have to pull from another position and make sure we have an extra lineman that's available. We got to do what we got to do.
But, I mean, even, right, like, it's not even saying, Cody, you can't play anymore. To me, it's saying we've got this line set up. Heck, I'd put Cody back at guard and Tevin at left tackle. That's what we drafted him to be.
Nah.
Initially, you didn't like him out there at left tackle?
Nope.
You like him better at guard than at tackle?
He's a mauler.
He's a mauler, 100%. He's a mauler,
and he's going to open holes. Yeah. He's going to open holes. Him moving to guard is probably the best thing for him.
For his career moving forward?
Yep. Yep.
All right. Hey, let's figure something out, because we can't snap a football. That's a bad start to your offense. And I think that that's causing a lot of the false starts. That's causing a lot of the miscommunications.
I lost the Super Bowl over that.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. This is true. I didn't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, just cuts deep. You know,
that's true.
You see this face right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over it.
Little glazy. Are you okay?
Yep.
You need a minute? Yeah. Should we cut?
Nah, let's keep
going. All right, let's do it. Let's jump into this. When you look at the offense as a whole, right, felt like it went backwards. In your mind, how far backwards did we go? Did we go week one backwards?
Not in the running game.
Did we go in the run game? No, we were still the same. But I think, to me, scheme-wise, what we saw in the run, it felt like they got conservative because they were like, Deontay Foreman's all we have at running back, and then it's Darrington Evans.
Well, I think it had more to do with Brian Flores. Mm-hmm. You know, Brian Flores and not knowing he's very dynamic with his blitzes and bringing him and disguising him. You know, I think there was one where he had six guys on the line and only blitzed three and six drop.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of deal. It's tough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not an easy job. You know what I mean? And anybody that gets back there and sees a bunch of guys lined up on the line, you know, will probably panic.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's one of those deals where, you know, you've got four or five days to prepare for a team that's going to blitz you different than anybody else is going to blitz you this year.
72% of the plays they blitz.
Right. You know what I mean? That's a lot of –
that's Madden just in the blitz play.
Right, with a lot of different blended coverages back there.
Yep.
So, you know, that's one of those deals. It's going to be tough. It's not – each week is case to case, case by case. You know, each week is case by case. What we did do is we ran the ball extremely well. So – we have to move that into this following week, mm-hmm. where our next opponent is, and take what we did well. And then, you know, and the other thing too, we're going to have to practice the blitzes that were effective against us, because it's a copycat league. And if they can do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to get sharpened in those skills, especially in the pass game, because we were lacking in that.
Yeah. It showed. And I just, when I was watching how he was calling the plays, I was like, all right, let's go. Let's keep running the football. Keep the pressure on him. Tried to go to the screen pass a couple of times. Screen pass wasn't working.
Something.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you have something that works, and they couldn't stop it.
Now here's the thing, you know, if you got these guys on a line of scrimmage that are showing blitz,
yeah,
you know, there are short passes that you can take advantage of.
Yes.
You know, because – from where they are, they still have to drop to get there. Okay, so you should pre-snap have an idea. Okay, if this guy's dropping, okay, I'm going to go here. This guy's dropping, I'm going to go here. You got to use this leverage. It's about using the angles, using the right angles, and how we're going to attack it. If he drops this way, he drops that way, I know I'm going to take this curl route.
Yeah,
you know. So there's ways to get the ball out fast too.
Did it feel to you that he went back to the offense that he was calling in the first three games, kind of trying to no?
I don't know, man. That's way too much thinking, you know, and honestly, it hurts my brain to try to do that. You know what I mean? Try to get into the mind. You know, things work or they don't work.
Yeah.
All right? You make calls based on your situation. You have your 15 plays, then you start making your adjustments. You know, getting into that is just – it's too much for me.
It was funny that, you know, I kept seeing, why would you run a draw play on 3rd and 7? I was like, we did that a lot last week. We did that a lot versus the Commanders last week, actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that actually is a part of his game plan last week. But I don't know. It just – I would have loved to see them commit to the run even more, because that was the one thing to me that the Vikings had no answer for.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the part that I thought allowed the Vikings to get the ball back. I mean, the turnovers are the turnovers. That was – The one where Justin tries to step up and just let it go, I don't know what he was seeing there. Like, I saw the man downfield. Yeah. He gets his arm hit. But it's like you got to eat that one. But of course, right, if he gets the football off, it's a great throw. All of that. Yeah.
Well, there's nothing you can do about that. You don't see him.
Yeah.
You know, that's a backside issue. So, you know, there's nothing you can do about that. Same as for Bajent.
Yeah.
You know, it's a backside issue. So there's nothing you can do about that. You know, you're just trying to execute your play, execute your throw. But you know, there was a takeaway from T.J. Edwards.
My God. Which was worse on Sunday, right? And yes, I'm taking shots because it was a very Vikings homer announcer booth. The announcing, the referees, or the Bears offensive line play?
Bears offensive line play.
That's tough. You got to be bad because the refs were god awful.
Yeah.
That referee, when you get the, do you know coming in as a player, like, oh, we got this.
No, I'm taking ninth it back. Best ref, referee because we crew. Ran the ball well.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go with the refs.
Do you know going into a game? Oh man, we got the ninth best referee crew in the league right now. This is gonna be an ugly game. Do they let y'all know ahead of time, and you just like, oh, this
never think
be bad.
That, never think that because none of them are gonna make this tackle. You know what I mean? Like, I'm gonna make sure that this tackle is made 9 yards away from the first down marker.
Yeah.
Or if it's close, you know, the first down marker is 2 yards away, I'm gonna make sure that I either put you down there or I'm gonna move you back.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna make sure that we get off this field. You know, I mean, it has to matter, you know, and it mattered to the Bears. They got off the field. I think the Vikings were 2 or 13.
Yeah.
It was the best they've done.
Yeah.
All right.
Defense looked great.
It matters. You know, and there are times where and you see this all over the league. There's times where a guy will catch the ball. It's third down. He's 3 yards away from the first down marker.
Yeah.
And to me, it doesn't matter enough to these defensive guys to get him down beforehand and get off the field. You know, we're not struggling. We're not violently trying to take this guy down right now, you know, pull him in the opposite direction. And he somehow is able to lunge or dive or jump to get a first down.
Yeah.
You know, you got to lay out there. You got to get yourself, because it's a money down. So you have to get yourselves off the field.
Yeah, the Bears on third down, let me see if I can, I know I got it on here. I mean, like, it's the best I've seen them do. The Bears on third down basically said, come on, it's yours to have here. I mean, that teams were completing it at a 60% clip at one point in the season. Yesterday, 43% on third down, 6 for 14. Problem is Bears only. Oh, I'm sorry. No, the Bears completed at 43%. Vikings 2 for 13. Like you
there
said,
we go. Yeah,
15%. Fourth down efficiency was 50%. They only went for 1 fourth down, or 2 fourth downs. But you know, like, I really looked at the linebacking crew yesterday, and they looked more active. They looked more engaged.
They looked like they were,
like you always say, right? Hats to the ball.
They were
everybody
the ball.
Was there.
They were cheating on quarterback looks, getting close to it, knocking balls out from receivers. They played the defensive pass extremely well.
Yeah.
That's the way, like, they were like you're fundamentally coached to do.
And I mean, you should win that, what, 13 points they gave up? You know what I mean? Like, the only team that had a better defensive day yesterday is probably the Detroit Lions. When you look at the defense right now, does it feel to you like the defense is getting consistently better week by week and is building to something that is going to stick around? Mm. Or does it feel like you didn't have to deal with Justin Jefferson yesterday?
I don't know. You said consistently.
Yeah.
There's nothing consistent right now on the Bears team. They played a good game.
Yeah.
All right. We had very good play from the linebackers. They have another game coming up. Do it again.
Yeah.
All right. Do it again. Then do it again. Then do it again. Again and again and again and again, and then I can tell you that they're doing it consistently. But we're a far cry from consistency right now.
It's interesting too, because if you start to look at it, I mean, like, you go through how many of these games that the Bears have played have the Chicago Bears given up an offensive touchdown as well, where the offense is turning the football over, right? I believe, well, the Chiefs game, that was bad. Chiefs game was bad. Yeah. Packers game was bad as well, but an offensive touchdown given up there.
You got to go to the Broncos probably.
Buccaneers game. I mean, the Broncos game, like, every one of those games, you look at the defense like, well, really, they gave up 23 points. Really, they gave up, you know, 21 points.
That's
here.
Still too high.
That's
too high.
I don't think we got Brian and you out there no more.
No, but, you know.
I mean, there's no Tommy Harris up front, bro.
No.
There's no Tommy Harris.
That's true.
Right now.
That's true. I hear what you're saying. But, you know, I don't I don't bend, break, or waver. Yeah. Like, the standard is the standard. And yeah, I don't care who's out there. Like, if you don't have that mentality, then you're just waiting for the offense to score more points.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not your job. Your job is not to be concerned with what the offense does. You have no control over that. You have all control of what happens on the defense. And in the defense alone, you can not only you can not only win the game by keeping them out of the end zone, but you can win the game by putting the ball in the end zone.
Yeah. I mean, listen, that's what that T.J. Edwards overturn was one of the craziest things I've seen, because everyone else is literally just going, yeah, you can't overturn that. Dean Blandino's like, you can't overturn that. Seeing that one overturned, that was the one. Now, the Bears end up getting off the field, but they punted away. You're starting off at your I think Valus got like a – oh, no, somebody got a hold on that one. So we end up starting off at like the 10-yard line on that, on top of everything else. But I thought that the defense did – Like you've said the entire time, like, I thought about you while I was watching. I was like, they're flying to the ball. Like, it really looks different. Like, they're attacking. They're being so much more aggressive. They're not letting Jordan Addison get to his spot easily. Having Jalen Johnson back definitely helps with that. Yeah, like, as much as, right, like, guys, he hasn't really recorded more than one interception in his career. Mm-hmm. The guy's an elite pass breakup guy.
Yeah.
And that showed on display yesterday multiple times. And having him back made Tyreek Stevenson better, made Kyler Gordon better. I think this defense is actually
moving
in the right direction.
Where's my guy Stroman?
Stroman didn't what Stroman get yesterday? What Stroman do a little bit yesterday? Like that, yeah, Stroman got a little game too. I like Stroman.
Stroman should like be on
Stroman.
The field.
I like Stroman.
I do too.
Here's the Jalen Johnson needed the game that he had yesterday very, very badly because Stroman, Stevenson, Gordon,
Media,
Smith, you know, Media. Media. Well, yeah, there's that. But, I mean, Ryan Poles has attacked the DB room. He said that we need to add more of those. We need a ton of guys. And I think that he has a lot of guys in there that fit the profile that Flus is looking for a little bit more. Lengthwise,
we need to get the guys that fit the profile on the defensive side.
Yeah,
this is something that Eberflus, Poles needs to consult with Eberflus. You know, he needs to say, what kind of guys do you need on that defensive line? All right, I need a Tommy Harris, Aaron Donald type 3 technique. You know, I need a Julius Peppers, you know, type of defensive end.
Yeah.
You know, I like Billings.
I do like Billings. I'm
I like Billings more and more. That I watch him, the more and more I like him. He'd be a great nose, you know. But we need to have a rotation. We need to have a swing man. We need to have a rotation that we can keep guys fresh on that defensive line. And then all those DBs back there are going to collect a bunch of picks.
Yeah.
All right. Now, force fumbles, we're going to be opportunists. Everybody's going to be like, woo, our defense is there again.
I'm not going to lie to you, and I keep saying this, right? Like, I love that the Bears are focusing offense, because the one thing that I know we can do is build defenses. Mm-hmm. I know that we're going to be able to go out there and find, I don't know if he's going to be as elite as Tommy was, but our next Tommy Harris, right? Our next guy that can just dent that pocket. I know that at some point, the guys that we have, like, we can develop, or Javon Dexter, I think that they're developing really well now. The biggest question on this Bears defense right now, and especially I talked with Courtney Cronin about this on here as well. You know, she's reported that the Bears are placing calls about possibly moving on from Jalen Johnson, just kind of seeing what the veteran,
business.
The value is for a veteran. It's a business. He's not a Poles guy. Where are you at on, you know, keeping Jalen Johnson on this team? GM Lance, one more time, would you pay Jalen Johnson, knowing that he's only got the one interception right now?
I'd pay Jalen Johnson before Bojack. You know, right now, to me, Bojack is I would really be fishing him around.
Bojack got 18 mil coming next year.
Right.
He got a contract.
Right. You know what I mean? But I would see what the market value is for him.
Yeah.
And Jalen Johnson as well. I just think that Jalen is somebody that will really benefit from, I think he's he's hasn't been able to benefit from a pass rush 100%. Or lack thereof since the moment that he's got here.
How does – is this more just a business move, you think? Or is this a talent move, really?
Look at Denver's defense right now, all right? Going into this year, Patrick Surtain Jr. was considered the number one corner.
Yep.
All right? They can't stop anybody in Denver. All right? They can't.
You could get 100 yards on
that. Absolutely. Right. Running the ball, passing the ball, you know, and that doesn't mean that Patrick Surtain is the worst corner.
Yeah.
It just means that they don't have the bodies up there anymore.
Right.
They don't have them up front. They can't do it. You know what I mean? They don't have what they had before. So the same thing goes for Chicago or any other team. You can't provide a pass rush. You can't get there. And you can't get that ball out on time. You know, and it's not always about getting the sack or the quarterback hit. It's about making sure that ball comes out within 4 seconds.
Yeah.
If it comes out within 4 seconds, you don't have to worry about the triple move. You know what I mean? You possible, maybe a quick double move, but you know what routes are coming. You know how to play them.
That's the best way I've heard that explained. I'm not going to lie to you, because a lot of people are just like, you know, you get pressure on the quarterback, it makes him antsy. He throws bad passes. Like, but no, it's the quickness. It's forcing them to get the ball out quick, because now there's only so many routes you can go to. I love it.
And your fundamentals, your techniques play well into that. Fundamental and technique doesn't play into 5, 6, 7 minute pass plays.
Yeah.
There's no defense for it. We don't have a fundamental for it.
Yeah. Hey. Professor Lance dropping gems on the podcast, as always, man. Great to have Lance in studio with us, man. And wish it was here after a win, but it is what it is. Let's see if we can keep moving forward. Lance, very positive with the grades here. He's, dare I say, optimistic about what we got building up here a little bit?
I just see there's a lot of magic in what we can build here.
Yeah.
And every 21 years. The Bears are pretty doggone decent. Okay. 2027 is coming up. That means we're 21st year is coming up. All right.
Here's the tough part. I was so mad yesterday after this loss. I literally went and looked up how many winning seasons the Bears have had since I've been alive. Like above 500. Not even like they made the playoffs. Just since I've been alive. 9.
Woo!
9 above 500 seasons since I've been alive. I'm hurting, Lance. I'm hurting, like, as a Bears fan, dog. I'm hurting out here, man. I had the Bears, the Bulls, and the White Sox. I got the triple whammy.
And that's why I'm like, we got to do this thing right. Like,
yeah.
I don't know when the next time we'll be in a position that we're in now to build.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's.
To build with time. I don't understand the rush that everybody's putting on it. It's like, you got to pay Justin now. And it's like, I literally don't. Like, I don't know if you need me to show you his contract. I don't need to pay him right now. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is the part where a lot of Bears fans are like, well, what's going to happen if you don't make that decision now? I draft a couple more offensive linemen.
To the Bears fans' defense, you know what I mean?
Oh,
they've been through a lot.
Nine winning seasons, bro.
As long as everybody, you know what I mean? It's just show me something.
I only got 9 winning seasons. I was born in 1994, Lance. I'm still
a lot of Bears tattoos out there right now.
Oh, God.
They're covering it up right now, putting some clothing over it. They just want to unveil it.
No, they just want to add a year to it. Yeah, I mean, we got 85 and 06. Yeah, we just want to add another year. We ain't been to the second round in how long? No, they're not going down that rabbit hole. Y'all stay safe out there, Chicago. Bear down. Love you guys, man. Lance Briggs in the building. I am Pat the Designer, back at it again. Y'all stay safe out there. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, all that good stuff. We're going to be here 5 days a week. Peace.